And a very good morning out there to everyone here on this Sunday, June 2nd, right here on 104.5 The Team and the free 104.5 The Team app. Welcome, everybody, to the hot seat with your host, Vinny Fredericks. As today, we've got a stacked lineup. We'll go around the MLB diamond, recapping what's gone on this past week for your local teams of interest. We'll take a little preview of the NBA Finals as that starts coming up this Tuesday, as the Mavericks will take on the Boston Celtics in what should be an amazing series for basketball fans all around. Talk about the hottest headlines of the week so far and what to expect for the college football season as we dip into a new era of college football coming up next year. Good morning, everybody. I'm your host, Vinny Fredericks, and thanks for tuning in to the Hot Seat here on 104.5 The Team, ESPN Radio. And before we can dive into everything, speaking of hot, listen, it's getting sunny out there. All right, it's getting hot. Don't make the same mistakes I've been making. All right, please wear your sunscreen. You don't want to look like a lobster like me. All right, and listen, it'd be one thing if I was out, you know, at the beach or out swimming all day, but no, I was just at the park, sitting on the bench, watching the fellas play some basketball. As, you know, some of the listeners may know, I'm, you know, currently recovering from a broken finger that I had surgery on, so wasn't playing, just went out to watch because, you know, the fellas, they're starting their little backyard league, and, well, sitting on a hot bench in the sun for a few hours, it'll start to get to you. You know, I haven't been sunburned this bad in a while. It's the first one of the year. And so please, everybody out there, just wear your sunscreen. Don't make the same mistakes I did. If you need to, throw some aloe on there. It helps. Trust me, I know. And, well, just don't make that mistake. All right. It was worth it, though. You know, seeing all the guys come together. We do a little backyard basketball league every summer, me and the fellas. So it's great to see everyone come together, come out for something like that. If you're interested, we do post every now and again some highlights, pictures, interviews, everything you can imagine. So feel free to check it out, BCSL24 on Instagram. That's BCSL24 on Instagram for more updates with that if you're interested. But let's dive into stuff here. All right, it's the Hot Seat with Vinny Fredericks, and we're going to start things off the way we do every week, going around the MLB diamond as we will recap what went on with the New York Yankees, the Boston Red Sox, and of course, the New York Mets, as those are the regional teams of interest right here on 104.5 The Team. Speaking of hot, well, the Yankees, they've just had a scorching hot month of May that has rolled into the month of June as they continue to play some phenomenal baseball, going with a record of 21-7 through the month of May, won every single series since they played the Orioles at the start of May. They did split one versus Seattle in the middle of the month, but ever since then, they have won every single series, and tonight, they look to complete the sweep against the San Francisco Giants. Aaron Judge has just simply been phenomenal, the best baseball player on the planet. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Just in the month of May, this from Jeff Passan on Twitter, just in May, he had 14 home runs, leading the league, of course. The next most had 11. Hit a 1.415 OPS. Next best was 1.061. 488 on-base percentage. A 928 slugging line, which the next best after him, a 686. He averaged 100 miles an hour exit velocity on all of his swings. Had a 371 batting average, second in the league, only behind Luis Arraez, who was hitting 389. And drove in 27 RBIs just in the month of May, behind only Jose Ramirez, who knocked in 33. Aaron Judge just having another stellar season after missing some time last year. And right now, it's very clear he's the MVP frontrunner. There's not a single player in the league that I think is producing the way that he has. Just this past Friday night, he became the first Yankee with 14 home runs and 12 doubles in a month in Yankees history, something that's never been done before. He had 26 extra base hits just in the month of May, which is the most by a Yankee in a singular month since Joe DiMaggio hit 31 in 1937. He's the first player in MLB history to have 35 multi-home run games in under 1,000 career games played. And he has helped the Yankees become the fourth team ever to reach 40 wins before June in a regular season, as they look to sweep San Francisco, his hometown team, by the way, tonight at 4:05. You can catch it right here on 104.5 The Team pregame coverage starting at around 3:30, as this is the home for the New York Yankees, 104.5 The Team ESPN Radio. So last night, the Yankees, of course, beat the San Francisco Giants 7-3 as Aaron Judge homered again, his third home run in just two games in San Francisco, as the Yankees took that one home. Judge followed up his two home run performance Friday night in his first game at the stadium, which he rooted for as a child, with one of the most impressive shots that the ballpark has seen in 25 seasons. In the first inning, he launched a changeup off Logan Webb that hung just a little too much in the heart of the plate, 464 feet into the left field bleachers for his major league leading 21st home run of the season. Now, keep in mind, the Yankees have only played 60 games so far this year, and he's already at 21 home runs, putting him on pace to potentially break the record that he set with 63 home runs in 2022. So Aaron Judge has just been playing astronomically well. Juan Soto doing his thing. Anthony Volpe had a 21-game hit streak going that unfortunately ended over this past week, but still very impressive from a second-year player who had some batting average issues in his rookie season. If you're a Yankees fan, this Yankees team is impressing you very much. One bit of bad news, though, Clark Schmidt did go down with a right lat strain, so he's not going to be able to throw for 4 to 6 weeks. And you knew, if you're a Yankees fan, you knew at some point the injury bug was going to hit. If you're a baseball fan in general, at some point, the injury bug is going to hit your team. That's just how it goes. But Cody Petit gets the start in place of Clark Schmidt, tosses a decent outing, you know, 5 innings, 3 runs, 1 unearned. And it was just enough. It was all he needed to do. All he had to do was go out there and simply give the Yankees a chance to win. And well, when your team drives in 7 runs, yeah, you're going to have a pretty good chance to win. As well, the New York Yankees just continue to roll. As coming up tonight, Nestor Cortes will be on the mound going up against Blake Snell for the Giants, who, remember, Blake Snell was offered a contract from the New York Yankees. He denied it. He held out in hopes to get himself a better deal. And, well, he hasn't won a single game in 5 starts with the San Francisco Giants this season. 0-3 with a 10-4-2 ERA. I think it's safe to say that the Yankees might have dodged a bullet there with that one. As that will be up tonight, Nestor Cortes taking on Blake Snell as the Yankees will look to complete the sweep of the San Francisco Giants, first pitch at around 4:05 today. Moving on across the town, the New York Mets, who have, well, been having a pretty rough stretch throughout the month of May. They lost last night to the Arizona Diamondbacks. Diamondbacks who, well, were in the World Series this past season. Not playing up to expectations after making the World Series and falling just short to the Texas Rangers. As Christian Walker would hit a grand slam in the third inning that put the Arizona Diamondbacks up as they took a 10-1 lead into the ninth inning. The Mets did rally a little bit in the bottom of the ninth, scoring 4 runs as Pete Alonso had a 2-run shot in that inning. But when you're down 9 runs going into the ninth, yeah, it's going to be pretty tough to come back in that one. Both teams were coming off a pretty rough stretch in the month of May as the Mets went 9-for-19 with a major league worst 4.85 ERA as a team. Arizona was 11-15 through the month of May, whose ERA, well, was a little better, but not much. Second worst in the league at a 4.72. The Mets just surrounded by, well, all sorts of drama and this and that with Jorge Lopez. As we saw just this past week, he had a pretty rough outing, you know, gave up a couple runs. And, well, what was his response? His response was to throw his glove into the stands. Just not the type of stuff that you would typically see from a major league player. Let's hear what manager Carlos Mendoza had to say on, the Jorge Lopez debacle.
Whenever you're going through a stretch like this, you know, you're going to see some emotions from players and from anybody in here. But what we saw today out of Lopez, that's not acceptable, you know, and we will address that internally here. Not going to tolerate that. And, you know, it's part of what we're trying to do here. Like I said, we'll keep it internal. We'll keep it in-house. But, you know, we got to be better.
Yeah, well, They sure kept it in-house as not long after Jorge Lopez would find himself cut from the team and officially designated for assignment. Hey, is anybody really surprised here? I mean, you can't throw a little temper tantrum like that in the middle of a game and expect the club to just welcome you back with open arms. I mean, Jorge said, you know, he had no remorse. He said he didn't regret it. He said he did what he felt, you know, was maybe not the right decision, but he said he wanted to be there with the team. He would be back if the team welcomed him back. And, well, that just wasn't going to be the case. You can't do that at the major league level and expect nobody to notice. I mean, you have cameras, especially in the New York market, you have cameras and reporters all around you that are going to be asking you what's going on. And in his post-game interview, there was, you know, some discrepancy of whether or not he said he was being the worst teammate or whether he was on the worst team. You know, it was hard to really tell, but either way, just a real headache for the New York Mets as they will try to, you know, get things straight as they finish up their series against Arizona today at 1:40 p.m., looking to evenly split or potentially win the series, as they did win the first two games of that series before losing last night to the Diamondbacks. Moving on to the Boston Red Sox, who have been one of the surprisingly decent teams this season, despite coming into the year with very minimal expectations. They're sitting one game above 500 after beating the Detroit Tigers yesterday with a score of 6-3. Manuel Valdez home run twice, as it was his first career multi-home run game. And the Red Sox, they just simply continue to roll. You know, they were not coming into this season with very high expectations, but they've been able to win some games that a lot of people may not have expected them to win. And, you know, with a team with Alex Cora as their manager, you always got to give them a shot. You know, he's the kind of manager that will get the most out of his players. He's the kind of guy that he'll tell his team, doesn't matter who they're facing, you know, doesn't matter if they're facing the Yankees or the Dodgers or, you know, the powerhouses of the league, or if they're going out there and they're facing the Chicago White Sox or the Colorado Rockies, they're going to give you their best at-bats, their best pitching. They're going to give you their best effort, simple as that. As they will look to finish off that series against Detroit today at 1:35 Eastern Time, Brian Bellow on the mound versus Casey Mize. And that Mets series, it's Jose Quintana versus Brandon Pfaadt. That's the pitching matchup in the Mets-Diamondbacks game later on this afternoon. So around the diamond, you know, a lot of the same stuff. The Mets struggling to figure things out in a year that, well, they didn't have very high expectations coming into it. Red Sox surprisingly doing better than a lot of people expected. And the New York Yankees, well, they continue to roll as they just have simply reinvented the atmosphere in that locker room with the acquisitions of guys like Juan Soto, Alex Verdugo. I'm seeing people say that Alex Verdugo is the Nick Swisher that this Yankees team has been missing since they last won the championship in 2009. That's the locker room guy that they've needed. And I got to say, I agree. Verdugo has come into this lineup and no one had these kind of expectations for him. If you told me at the beginning of the season that Alex Verdugo was going to be batting cleanup in a lineup that included the likes of Anthony Rizzo, Aaron Judge, Gleyber Torres, Juan Soto, Anthony Volpe, all these guys, and Alex Verdugo's your cleanup man. And he's been doing a great job at it as he drove in a run yesterday with an RBI triple. He's just simply been one of the better pieces of this Yankees lineup. Simple. It's very simple. The Yankees have just completely changed the game. And, well, we'll see if it can continue, as, sure, the injury bug is starting to hit. But in some good news, Gerrit Cole may be back soon, as there's rumors swirling around that he may be making his first rehab stint starting as early as next Tuesday. So we'll keep you updated on that. Hopefully for the Yankees, their ace, Gerrit Cole, is back sooner rather than later, and this team will just continue to get better. Coming up, we'll preview the NBA Finals, and we'll see. Do Luka and Kyrie and the Mavs have a chance at beating this super-powered Boston Celtics team? Stay tuned. We'll dive into it next here on the Hot Seat with Vinny Fredericks on 104.5 The Team, ESPN Radio. Hey, this is Vinny Fredericks from the Hot Seat, letting you know that you can listen live well before these podcast episodes are posted. Join me live every Sunday morning from 11 a.m. until noon Eastern time, where we can go back and forth on the hottest takes, hottest topics, and the hottest headlines across the world of sports. All you have to do, download the free 104.5 The Team app. That's 104.5 The Team. Download today for more of the Hot Seat live every Sunday morning. Before we dive into some NBA Finals preview content, I've just received word that the Boston Red Sox, we'll bring it back around the diamond real quick, Boston Red Sox have recalled infielder Bobby Dalbec to the majors as they've dealt with a slew of infielder injuries. And from what I'm seeing from Red Sox fans in my messages on Twitter, that it's not being received with a very warm welcome. Seems like the Red Sox fans out there are not very happy to see Bobby Dalbec back in the majors, but hey, we'll have to see. Maybe sometime in the minor leagues has helped him improve his swing. Maybe he'll get that batting average up a bit. And, well, we'll see what comes from that. But right now, Red Sox fans not very happy about the news of Bobby Dalbec being back in the major leagues. All right, let's talk about a little bit of NBA Finals matchups here. As well, the phone lines are open. If you have a take, feel free to call in 518-476-1045. And we'll chat a little NBA Finals preview. But before we get into that, a special program like this deserves some special music. 1 second. NBA Finals without a little bit of NBA playoff music. Come on now. This is just how we do it here on 104.5 The Team ESPN Radio and the free 104.5 The Team app. Welcome back to the hot seat with your host, Vinny Fredericks. And let's dive into this NBA Finals matchup here as the Boston Celtics will be taking on the Dallas Mavericks. The Boston Celtics, who so far throughout the regular season seemed like one of the NBA title favorites, as they went on to win 64 games just during the regular season, behind the most efficient offense in NBA history. They've only lost twice in the playoffs so far, both of which being at home, so they haven't lost on the road yet. And they are led by the play of Jason Tatum and your Eastern Conference Finals MVP, Jaylen Brown. On the other side of things, the fifth-seeded Dallas Mavericks solidified their claim as, well, they were clearly the biggest winners of the trade deadline. Because look at where they are. They made moves at the deadline, and it set them up for an NBA Finals run. After they added center Daniel Gafford and power forward PJ Washington, they have meshed just perfectly with this star-studded lineup of Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving. The Dallas Mavericks have just simply been playing an impressive brand of basketball, taking out some of the best teams in the Western Conference on their way to the finals, taking out the one-seeded Oklahoma City Thunder, as well as the Minnesota Timberwolves, who just knocked off the former NBA champion Denver Nuggets in 7 games. And they made that series look easy. I mean, we saw a completely different Minnesota Timberwolves team in that series against the Mavericks. They were barely able to hang in there. The games were close, don't get me wrong. But man, when you give Luka Doncic a chance to hit a game-winning shot, and you have Rudy Gobert on him at the perimeter, I don't think it mattered if you had Rudy Gobert on him or Anthony Edwards or Jaden McDaniels. Didn't matter who you had guarding Luka in that moment. He was putting up a shot, and it was going in. So let's look at this preview here as how the Boston Celtics made their way to the NBA Finals after, like I mentioned, winning 64 games during the regular season, the most in the conference since LeBron James and the Miami Heat in 2012 to 2013. So this is a pretty historic Boston Celtics team we're seeing, and they are deep, man. You look at any guy they put out on the court, they can defend, they can shoot from deep, and they just simply are one of the most talented rosters that I've seen on an NBA team in a long time. Just outside of Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, you got guys like Derek White, who have been having the playoffs of their career. Kristaps, who's been out with injuries since the first round, but having 9 days of rest before the NBA Finals actually starts, that's going to be a big help for a guy like Kristaps to return from this calf strain that he's been dealing with since early on in the playoffs. You just got plenty of guys that can step up on this Boston Celtics team. And, well, they've been in tough situations. You know, they've only lost 2 games this postseason, but they've been in some tight ones. Just in this Indiana Pacers series, which they swept in 4 games, 3 of those games, the Pacers had a chance to win late in the game. The Pacers had the Celtics on the ropes, and, well, Boston just simply took over in the fourth quarter and in overtime in one of those games. So the Boston Celtics, they have the experience. They've been here before. They were just in the finals 2 years prior. They were in the conference finals 1 game away from the finals last season. They have the playoff experience that this Dallas Mavericks team doesn't necessarily have. But the Mavericks, they just simply don't seem to care. Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving have just been phenomenal this playoffs. And you look at the guys that have really been taking a step up. Derrick Jones Jr. and rookie Derek Lively II. All just acquired this past year. It's their first year in Dallas. They've been critical in this playoff run for the Mavericks. And of course, you know, all eyes are going to be on the stars in this series. Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Luka Doncic, Kyrie Irving. And you know, normally history will have us see that whatever team has the best player in the NBA Finals is going to win. We saw that a couple years ago, the last time the Celtics were in the Finals. They played the Warriors. Steph Curry was the best player in the series, and the Warriors ended up winning with some other guys stepping up out of nowhere, like Jordan Poole and Andrew Wiggins. So who's going to step up for the Mavericks this year? Well, we'll see. Could it be Derrick Jones Jr.? Could it be PJ Washington, Daniel Gafford? Could Maxi Kleber come back from his injury and just make a complete difference for the Mavericks? I don't know. But with this Celtics team, I think this is the last year that this is their best chance. You know, this duo of Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown has been in plenty of opportunities to take it home. You know, they were just in the finals 2 years ago. They were a game away last year, and they haven't been able to get it done. So at what point, if you're a Celtics fan or if you're a fan of another team that's monitoring what's going on in Boston, at what point, if they don't get it done this year, do you start to wonder, well, maybe this duo just isn't able to get it done together. Maybe they have to split one of the two up. This could all be avoided if the Celtics were able to get it done this year, and they have the team to do it. This Celtics team was put together to win. Brad Stevens, one of the most excellent GMs and executive level officials that we've seen in NBA history. Every single year, he seems to change up this Celtics team just enough. He'll find what's working, find what's not working, and he'll switch things up. Nobody expected them to trade Marcus Smart, but it was what they needed to do, and it's worked out for him. Nobody expected the Celtics to pick up Drew Holiday, and he has been one of the best players for this Celtics team in the playoffs. His defense down the stretch in some of these Pacers games were huge, forcing turnovers at the most opportune times. So with this Celtics team, you know, it's time to finally see, are they going to be able to break through and finally get over the top of that mountain into the NBA championship contention? Well, they're here. They've made it. Now they just got to win four more games, and they have the opportunity to hoist their 18th NBA championship banner, which would set a new record in NBA history. Now, as for Dallas, well, they've got to figure out how they can slow down what is the most efficient offense that we've ever seen in NBA history. The last time this Celtics team faced the Mavericks on March 1st in the regular season, the Celtics scorched them, scoring 138 points. But a lot has changed since then. And you know, that's the regular season. That ain't the playoffs. Once the playoffs start, that's when the real dogs come out, and that's when these teams are really starting to fight for what they really want. You know, the trade deadline acquisitions that the Mavericks have made are going to be critical. Those guys are going to need to step up if they want any hope of beating the Boston Celtics. At the end of the day, it's going to come down to, well, which stars are going to be able to perform better. All these other guys, they're going to play an important role. You know, you want Derrick Jones Jr. and you want Derek White and you want PJ Washington and you want Kristaps to come back healthy and make an impact. But at the end of the day, it's going to be about whose stars shine the brightest when the lights are on them. And all these guys have the experience. Kyrie has a ring. Tatum and Brown have been to this stage before. Luka, as a teenager, was playing for championships over in Slovenia. So this is nothing new to any of these guys. To some players, when they, you know, you don't have that experience, it can be very nerve-wracking finally getting to that stage. But the keys to this title, it's going to come down to, well, Kristaps, whether he comes back healthy or not. If he comes back and plays a shred of the way he was playing for the Celtics in the regular season, in the beginning of the playoffs, that's going to be huge for them. And it's going to be phenomenal for them when it comes to interior defense. One of the best things that the Mavericks do is getting inside. And as soon as that big man has to rotate over to guard Luka or Kyrie or whoever's handling the ball, I see about five times a game at least they'll just flip up what looks like a layup and it goes right into the hands of Derek Lively or Daniel Gafford for an easy alley-oop. So having Kristaps down there at 7'3", it's going to make a big difference as far as they go trying to get those easy buckets at the rim. And the Mavericks are one of the most proficient corner three shooting teams. They love to get that corner three, and well, it's led by Luka's amazing passing ability. However, on the other side of that, the Boston Celtics have been one of the best teams in the league. League best, actually, as far as limiting corner threes, both in the regular season and in the playoffs. So it's going to be, it's one of those, you know, immovable object meets, you know, an unstoppable force kind of matchups. We're yet to see what's really going to come from both of these teams, as I think neither of them have been playing their best brand of basketball because they're saving it for the NBA Finals. It's going to be exciting to watch. It's going to be real exciting to watch, and I cannot wait to see what happens here. Coming up next on The Hot Seat, we'll get into your hottest headlines of the week, and the phone lines will be open at 518-476-1045. If you got a take, you got a reaction to one of the headlines that we're talking about here, feel free to call in, and we'll chat for a few moments right here on The Hot Seat with Vinny Fredericks on 104.5 The Team ESPN Radio. Hey, this is Vinny Fredericks from The Hot Seat. To stay up to date with when episodes are going to be posted or airing live every Sunday morning at 11, be sure to check out at VFreds Media on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. That's VFREDDS Media on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, where we'll have clips, updates, and more for you. Up next, more of The Hot Seat. What better way to kick off the hottest headlines of the week segment here on The Hot Seat with Vinny Fredericks on 104.5 The Team ESPN Radio than with one of the best sports anthems of all time, Seven Nation Army. If you know sports, you know that song. Everybody has heard it before. One of the best pregame hype songs out there. And well, it just felt right to play it here as we dive into the hottest headlines of the week so far right here on The Hot Seat on 104.5 The Team and the free 104.5 The Team app, starting off with Caitlin Clark and the Indiana Fever secured their first home win of the season this past Saturday against fellow rookie star Angel Reese and the Chicago Sky in a score of 71-70 in a typeout. The Indiana Fever just able to hang on, but the main thing that's been discussed after this game is the hard foul that won Shenity Carter, who scored a game-high 19 points off the bench. Well, she came under some scrutiny after a pretty hard foul that she committed on Caitlin Clark away from the ball, not, you know, during a play or anything, just in an inbound situation. Caitlin standing there, you know, trying to receive the ball. Shenity came up out of nowhere behind her, gave her a little shove in the back, a little elbow to the spine. Clark fell to the ground. And, well, a lot of people have been having some discourse on this because it seems like since Caitlin has come into the league here, she's dealt with a lot of hard contact, a lot of players just kind of giving her a bit of an aggressive defensive strategy. And, you know, I'm all for face guarding someone and you get pressing them the full court. Well, she's one of the most prolific scorers that the game of basketball has ever seen. Set the Division I points scored record at Iowa. And it makes sense that you're going to want to guard her aggressively. But this is getting a bit out of hand, if you ask me. I mean, it's almost as if these players have a certain level of animosity towards Caitlin Clark. And I understand if you're a veteran of the WNBA, you've been busting your butt for years trying to get this, you know, this league, the attention and the popularity that it deserves. And then along comes, you know, Caitlin Clark and Reese and Cameron Brink, Rakia Johnson, these other, you know, great rookie classes. This is one of the best rookie classes that the WNBA has ever seen as far as stars go. I understand why there might be a little animosity because, oh, well, these rookies are, you know, just coming into the league and are already getting the star treatment. Well, it's because they deserve it. I mean, they're putting the league on the map. If there was no Caitlin Clark, do we really think that these WNBA teams wouldn't be flying charter anymore? I mean, this is the Caitlin Clark effect. And sure, Angel Reese has a factor to play in this. Camila Cardoso and Cameron Brink, all these other women that are becoming stars in this league, they all have a role to play in this. But let's not forget what Caitlin Clark has done the last few years. She was the best player in college basketball, both men's and women's. And she's simply putting the league on a platform that nobody has ever seen before. So why are these players trying to practically take her out? Let's hear what Shenity Carter, after the game, had to say about her foul on Caitlin Clark.
Kennedy, on the play before bumping in with Caitlin, it seemed like she turned to you a little bit after the Fever score.
I answered no Caitlin Clark questions.
Did she say anything to you?
I don't know what she said.
What'd you say to her?
I didn't say anything.
That's enough.
You don't want to answer any Caitlin Clark questions after you committed a overly, not violent, but, you know, a unnecessary foul on Caitlin Clark. Let's be honest here. if Caitlin Clark were to go down with a season-ending injury right now, there would be a decent amount of people that wouldn't tune into the WNBA nearly as much. She has drawn in a lot of fans to this league. And speaking of Caitlin Clark, let's hear what she had to say post-game about the foul committed by Carter.
We saw the play in the third quarter where Carter kind of decked you. Mm-hmm. How do you respond to that and stay within yourself when maybe you weren't expecting that?
Yeah, I wasn't expecting it, but I think it's just like, just respond, come down, let your play do the talking. It is what it is. It's a physical game. Go make the free throw and then execute on offense. And I feel like that's kind of what we did, but, you know, it is what it is, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, it is what it is, I guess. You know, a good response from Caitlin there, you know, not to really, you know, lean into it or anything and, you know, try to make it bigger than it is. It's still just basketball. It's you know, something that doesn't necessarily belong in the league. You know, there's definitely a certain, just a way that these teams are playing defense on Caitlin Clark. And like I said, I'm all about playing aggressive defense. I'm all about pressing the full court. I mean, she can shoot from the parking lot. You kind of have to guard her from half court just to make sure that she doesn't get an open look from three. But cheap shots, there's no room for that in any league. You know, the WNBA, the MLB, the NFL, there's just no need for stuff like that. Moving on, another really popular story that has been gaining a lot of traction over the last week, Birmingham Southern, Division III baseball team whose school has officially shut its doors for history. The school is shut down, never going to open again, but the baseball team is still rolling. Despite the school being closed for good, the Panthers kept their hopes of winning a national championship in the Division III World Series alive Saturday night with a thrilling 9-7 comeback victory over Randolph-Macon. Jackson Webster, who already hit a two-run home run in the first inning of this game, also hit a two-run walk-off home run in the ninth to give Birmingham Southern, a team who has really captured the attention of sports fans all over the country with its feel-good story, a win that they call a baseball miracle, as Webster called it. It says the storybook isn't finished. After they squandered a 4-0 lead and fell behind by three runs, they scored three in the eighth to tie it up, and then came on the ninth, where Webster took an ugly swing on the first pitch. So ugly, in fact, that he had to step out of the batter's box, give a little pat on the chest. He said to his coach, you know, my bad. I'm not going to do that again. And, well, he didn't do that again. The very next pitch, on a hanging curveball, he sent his home run over the wall in left field to set off a wild celebration both on the field and in the stands. As he rounded third, he was greeted at the plate by his teammates who were just going delirious as a rowdy group of Sigma Chi fraternity brothers from the school were going crazy in the stands. Just true grit. And really, it's the story of the sport right now. You know, forget what's going on in the MLB and the Yankees and the Mets and the Red Sox. Forget about what's going on in the Division I World Series. This is what people should be paying attention to. Because Birmingham Southern was on the brink of elimination after losing their opening game to South Regina on Friday night, the same day that the school officially closed its doors. Well, they were in a win-or-go-home situation. And this is all they have to keep the school's legacy going. You know, after this tournament's over, after Birmingham Southern, after, you know, they eventually are kicked out of the tournament or win the whole thing, school's done. It's over. So for them to be able to keep this going in the manner that they did too, they didn't just win. They won in a miracle fashion in a story that really has taken the country by storm. And if you're not paying attention to this, I hope you are now. Because it is truly phenomenal watching this team play and just the way that these players love each other and the connection that they have with their teammates. And it's unfortunate that the school is being forced to shut down, but I mean, this is how you send it home with a bang. Onto the gridiron here. It's been announced by Adam Schefter that there will be an announcement on the tampering cases of the Atlanta Falcons and the Philadelphia Eagles. This resolution is likely to come this week after the Falcons have been investigated for the contact they may or may not have had with free agent quarterback Kirk Cousins before he signed with Atlanta, and the Philadelphia Eagles are being investigated for the contact they, again, may or may not have had with free agent running back Saquon Barkley, both players of which signed with those respective teams. One league source indicated that the Falcons' alleged transgressions are much more significant and the discipline is expected to be a bit more severe. Now, in the past, the league is taking tampering quite seriously, and they've been disciplining teams accordingly. Back when the Miami Dolphins were caught for tampering with quarterback Tom Brady and head coach Sean Payton on three occasions from 2019 to 2022, they were forced to forfeit a 2023 first-round pick, a 2024 third-round selection, and the team owner Stephen Ross and his partner Bruce Beal were fined. Ross fined $1.5 million, Beal fined $500,000. And the Kansas City Chiefs, back in 2016, they had to forfeit their third-round pick and a 2017 sixth-round selection for tampering with wide receiver Jeremy Maclin back in 2015. The Chiefs were also fined $250,000, with coach Andy Reid being fined $75,000, and then general manager John Dorsey fined $25,000. So, well, the league is cracking down on tampering. You know, the days of being able to text a guy like Saquon Barkley and say, hey, listen, I know we're not allowed to talk to you yet, but listen, but, you know, we got a deal for you if you want to come to Philadelphia. You can't do that anymore. You got to give every team in the league a fair shot to go after this guy. If he really wants to play for you that bad, he'll sign with you. But why are you trying to tamper? Because you're not going to get away with it. We just witnessed the Chiefs and the Dolphins get caught. And now you think, what? Because I can do it better, I won't get caught? No. Roger Goodell is going to crack down on it, and he's going to catch you. And we'll have to see what sort of implications this has on the Falcons and the Eagles, whether it's a loss of some picks, whether it's a big fine. We'll wait and see. That should be coming an announcement sometime this week. In other football news, Olympic gold medal wrestler Gable Steveson is signing with the Buffalo Bills, which you can find all Buffalo Bills games right here on 104.5 The Team as we carry those all season long. As he is set to sign with the Buffalo Bills as a defensive tackle, he's signing a standard rookie 3-year deal, and he is now set out to join Bullet Bob Hayes, the former Dallas Cowboys wide receiver, as the only athlete ever to win a Super Bowl ring and an Olympic gold medal should he make the Bills roster and the Bills win a Super Bowl. Steveson has, well, he's been dominant when it comes to the wrestling world. You know, he did just have a stint in the World Wrestling Entertainment, the WWE, for a few years. He was signed there back in 2021 and was just released this past May. But back in college, he was a phenomenal wrestler. As well, Sean McDermott also used to be a wrestler back in his heyday when he was in high school. Actually, a very good wrestler at that too, with a record of, I want to say 61-0 was the record I saw for Sean McDermott. So there's some wrestling ties here with the Buffalo Bills. And we'll have to see if Gable Steveson, the 6'1", 275-pound defensive tackle, is going to be able to make a difference. He is, you know, a bit undersized for an interior defensive lineman. Typically, you'll see a guy that size be on, you know, the edge, rushing from the outside. But Aaron Donald was only, I want to say, 6'2", 280, something around there. So it's not impossible. You know, should Steveson be able to make an impact, there's a chance he could be a very good defensive lineman. We know he's athletic. I mean, if you've seen the clips on Twitter of him doing backflips and whatnot after winning his wrestling matches, the dude is just a freak athlete. So we'll have to see what happens here with Steveson, as the Buffalo Bills are taking a chance on a guy that, well, not a lot of teams probably would have taken a chance on. Wrapping things up here, a little bit of boxing news, as Mike Tyson and Jake Paul, their boxing match, which has been heavily talked about over the last few months, well, it's going to be postponed after Mike Tyson had a recent medical scare. The news comes days after the 57-year-old Mike Tyson was reported to have suffered a medical scare while on a plane, later identified as an ulcer flare-up. While Mike Tyson tweeted that, you know, he felt 100% afterwards, he was advised in a follow-up consultation to only do minimal to light training over the next few weeks. Tyson said he wants to thank his fans around the world for their support and understanding. Unfortunately, due to the flare-up, he's going to have to take a rest and take a few weeks to recover. And he says his body is in better overall shape than it has been since the 1990s, and he'll be back on his full training schedule soon. So whenever these two step in the ring, it's going to be quite interesting, as it's going to be the largest age gap in a professional fight in boxing history, with Jake Paul 31 years younger at 27 years old with Mike Tyson turning 58 this month in June. So we'll have to see when this fight is actually going to occur, but it's going to be one of the most watched boxing matches of the year, I would say. With Mike Tyson, he hasn't competed in a professional fight since 2005, hasn't won one since 2003. So we're going on over 20 years since Mike Tyson has actually won a professional boxing match. Well, we'll have to see what happens there, as that should be an exciting one for everyone to tune into. Coming up next on the hot seat, as many of us know, college football, they're going to be completely different next year. A completely new era starting with the NCAA and college football when it comes to their playoff format. 12 teams. What are you going to love about it? What are you going to hate about it? We'll let you know coming up next here on the hot seat with Vinny Fredericks on 104.5 The Team, ESPN Radio. Vinny Fredericks from the hot seat here, not to promote anything or sell anything to you, but simply to say thank you to all the listeners out there. Your support is very much appreciated. And here at the hot seat, we will do our best to continue providing you with the hottest takes, the hottest topics, and the hottest headlines around the world of sports on a weekly basis. Thank you again for listening. It's much appreciated. And we've got more of the hot seat coming up for you right after this. And welcome back, folks, to the hot seat with your host, Vinny Fredericks, right here on 104.5 The Team and the free 104.5 The Team app. As I said before, well, the college football playoff, I guess you want to call it makeup, is going to be completely different now. As for the first time in history, we will see a 12-team playoff schedule. Now, I got to say, as a college football fan, this is going to be a great thing. And I'll tell you why. Here's a few things that you're going to love about the 12-team playoff. For one, the whole Florida State incident that we saw last year, where an undefeated conference champion from either the Big 12, the SEC, the ACC, or the Big 10, well, they'll no longer be excluded from the playoffs. It's never going to happen again. As we saw a lot of people causing an uproar when Florida State, who went undefeated, won the ACC, well, they didn't make the college football playoff. And at the time, I would have agreed with that. I didn't think they were a top four team in the nation, but this is why you expand to the 12-team playoff, because you can't have things like that happen. You'll never see something like that happen again. And another great part about this, in the past, if your team lost two games in the regular season, you were done. You weren't making the college football playoffs with two losses on your record. It just wasn't going to happen. There were better teams out there that would have gone undefeated or one-loss teams. You just simply weren't going to make it in over them. There was a huge amount of pressure that in order to make the playoffs, you had to go undefeated. Granted, last year, that wasn't good enough for the Florida State Seminoles, but you're not going to see that happen ever again. It's going to be a much more forgiving system, and a lot of teams are going to be able to benefit from it. Like a team like Notre Dame. A team like Notre Dame doesn't have a conference championship game that they can use to impress the selection committee. They're not going to be the SEC, Big Ten, ACC champions, so they have to rely on their record. But they won't have to compete with the four winners of the SEC, Big Ten, Big 12, and ACC for one of the four spots. Notre Dame, even with a loss or two, they can still join those, you know, big conference teams in the college football playoffs. And it'll be the deepest November field the sport has ever seen. While, of course, you'll have your usual suspects, the Georgias and the Alabamas, and the Texas is, well, it's going to go much deeper now. You're going to see a lot of teams that you would never see in the playoffs before with an opportunity here. Like, for example, the Big 12 with 16 teams in it is completely wide open with Oklahoma and Texas leaving. So now you've got teams like Utah, Oklahoma State, Kansas State, Arizona. All these teams are going to have a chance now because should they win the Big 12 championship, they're going to make their way into the college football playoffs. But there are some things you're not going to like so much about this. Like, for example, your team can be in the selection committee's top four rankings, but they might not get the five seed. Because, of course, the four highest ranked conference championships are going to earn the top four seeds and a first round bye. So on selection day, let's say Georgia is the best team in the SEC, but Texas is the second best team in the SEC and also the second best team in the nation. You could have Georgia and Texas as the best two teams on the selection committee's board, but say Georgia wins that SEC championship and Texas is the runner-up, the Longhorns automatically would be bumped down to a number 5 seed because they simply didn't win the conference. And now all of a sudden, you don't get that first round bye. You got to win 5 or 4 straight games in order to win a national championship. The same holds true for a team like Notre Dame, who I mentioned earlier, having an advantage because they can make the playoffs because, well, they don't have a conference championship to win. That also hurts them because they're automatically not going to be a top 4 team in the playoff rankings. Even if on selection day, they're the best team in the NCAA, unanimous, it doesn't matter. They don't have a conference championship, so they would automatically be bumped down to number 5. Another thing you might not like, well, your team could be number 12 on selection day, but they might not make the playoffs. You know, for example, let's look at this past season. The 5 highest ranked conference champions are going to be having a guaranteed spot in the playoffs. So a conference champion ranked outside of the top 12 could bump out the number 12 team in the country for a spot in the bracket. Like last year, Oklahoma was the number 12 team in the nation, according to the committee. But number 23, Liberty, the Conference USA championship champion, would have knocked the Sooners out simply because they were the champions of their conference. In 2022, Washington was the committee's number 12 team, but they wouldn't have been in the playoffs. Number 16, Tulane, the winners of the American Athletic Conference that season, would have taken their spot. So there are some things that you're not going to necessarily love about this. Like, for example, some teams are going to play each other 3 times. Like Florida State and Clemson, for example. They're going to play on October 5th this year. They could play again in the ACC championship game. And then they could play again, potentially, in the playoffs should they each make it further than the first or second round. So little things like that, I don't think it's a big deal. I think you're still going to have a great playoff experience with 12 teams. All in all, I think it's great for the sport just to have some parity. Just to have, you know, things shake up a little bit. As a bunch of college football fans, we're definitely getting tired of seeing the same teams over and over again winning the championship, in the championship. I think this is going to be great for college football and for football fans all around. As that'll wrap things up here on the Hot Seat with Vinny Fredericks. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Really appreciate it. And wear some sunscreen, all right? Don't get sunburned like me. Be safe out there. Hope everybody has a good one, and we'll do this again next week, next Sunday, right here at 11 a.m. for the Hot Seat on 104.5 The Team and the free 104.5 The Team app.